I remember that. In fact, I was tape recording it at the time, and they've recently done the same thing. There's a recently, it was 2 or 3 months ago, they were advising people that Food Now Bomb should not be given produce and other things from the farmers market because all it was all supposed to go to a centralized church charity. And which I do. I got those keys back from the police department finally after they were held for 36 hours on suspicion of stolen keys. I was there could be. They wanted me to account for every possible key. But anyway, that it really. I'm really glad that some people are speaking up for what the Santa Cruz scene is, which is a mixture of all kinds of different lifestyles, which you see intermingling in a wonderful way at the farmers market, which happens every Wednesday. You know, people are serving food, people are giving out literature, people are exchanging services and goods, and they're doing so in a non-glitzy, non-chintzy, non-tourista kind of way, which is, of course, counter to the whole movement of the merchants and the downtown area permanently. They want, it looks like they want some kind of Carmel Capitola combine on the mall. And then there's this other force, this other direction, which is really much more important in Santa Cruz, and I think in other towns, other small coastal towns up and down the coast. It's really kind of a people's movement. Wouldn't you say, Bob? What would you say? Is it a people's movement, or is this just...
You
believe
me?
Hey, man.
I'm just not in talkative mood, you know.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I understand that.
I
you know, we do have... this is your opportunity to just do some ranting and raving on the air. Nobody will hear you, of course, except me and Bob. But
it's 3:23 in the morning.
It is, but, you know, hey, off to cops may be hearing you. I'm sure they're tuned in. Hey there, Sergeant Vogel, good work tonight. No, he's not going to pose for a picture lying down and giving you false evidence. I think that's a bit of a stretch, Sergeant Vogel. You know, that's not good.
Well, he'll tell you about what happened the other night, last night as well, is when he was leaving the the vigil. He left before I did, and he was going down Pacific Avenue, and he noticed this crowd of First Alarm police wannabe officers around a gentleman and had him handcuffed, and he was maced in the face, and they're pouring water on his face. Phil showed up on the scene with tape recorder in hand, and it got some sound bites of what happened to this man. Evidently, he was taken to the ground. He was handcuffed. He was maced in the face by two rather large First Alarm cops. Either they're like disgruntled football players that didn't quite make the police. Yeah, you know, most cops are like disgruntled football players. But First Alarm guys, I don't know. But they had this guy in, and it was freezing last night, and they had this guy on the ground and had him... had him basically all fucked up with his pepper gas on his face, and then Officer Brandt got there too.
What day was this?
This was last night during the demonstration down. This is at night. This is like about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Last night. Do we know what the reason for the pepper gassing was?
No, either he was drunk in public. There was a lot of people drunk in public. A lot of people tonight. I still hear him howling. I was out there. Still people howling. And St. Patty's Day. But evidently he was drunk and stuff, but he was handcuffed, and these First Alarm cops aren't supposed to be doing that. They're not even supposed to put handcuffs on anybody. I mean, I wouldn't let one put a handcuffs on me, because they're not police officers.
Well, don't you... So you don't have a right to... If I were a citizen and I arrested you, couldn't I theoretically handcuff you if I were arresting you for some kind of crime, even though I had no particular police authority?
You mean for, like, a disturbing the peace? Like if you wanted to make a citizen's complaint against me, or
if I saw you engaging in a crime and you were, let's say you were stealing something from the store, I tackled you like, let's say Neil Coonerty or something.
That happened to me at Safeway when I stole some food because I was hungry and I had no money, and a box boy attacked me, and actually I was pulled in from I was walking outside the store, and then they escorted me back in his back room, and then. The owner or the manager came out, and he's all, "Do you have an ID?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he says, "You're going to jail." And I said, "Fuck you, I am not going to jail." And I ran, and I was tackled by fascist box boys from Safeway and Felton. thrown to the ground, you know, and grabbed and all this stuff, and thrown in this back room, told to shut up. And so I started going through all their paperwork, and they didn't like that. They're yelling at me, don't go do that. I'm all, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they were all there, and finally the sheriff got there, and then he released me on my OR. But that's the big famous case that John Hopkins said my moral compass was off.
Your moral compass has been spinning, way around. I remember that. That was in the Kim Argula trial for disturbing the peace. You were called as a witness.
That's what we named Just Kidding's album, Moral Compass, what you can pick up at Baseline.
Or cheap, flagrant plugs for your stuff there, Bob. I mean, this is really disgraceful. So you just got back from the vigil. Any new information there? Have the police been seen stalking the vigil still? The sleep out?
Yeah, they're driving around. Zeke hiled one as he was driving by. And they drove by a couple times. This is a weird guy who was driving around in a van, too. But I don't know, probably delivering newspapers or something. This early in the morning, you know, Monday morning. The hell are you doing up?
I regularly get up to go down and bring coffee to the people at the sleep out, which really is kind of stupid, because if you go to 7-Eleven, you can get a 60-cent refill on one of these 32-ouncers for a coffee. But if you buy it, you know, new, it costs $1.20. So I'm... Anyway, I buy coffee for the folks because I figure, you know, hey, they're out there, I'm in here, that sort of thing. Well,
they're awake right now. They're just standing around reading. I think Nikki's reading a book, and a couple other people they're talking about stuff. They're a little shooken up and wondering what's going to happen next. So I don't know. It's Robert Flores in jail. They're going to hold on to him. According to what they said, that the police officer said they're going to hold on to him for a couple days. Mooncat, he got one last night, and this is the second one. Either they're going to go to court tomorrow, maybe. I mean, that would make sense that they would go to court tomorrow. They're going to hold on to him. But they may want to make an example and hold on to him, like they did to Kim Argula back on the peace vigil we had two years ago. And I forget what officer it was. who was the one doing all the arrests on May 11th? He was walking around. You see him at CPRB meetings all the time.
Varner.
Sergeant Varner. Well, he arrested Kim Argula on her second charge of conduct, which was she was walking down the sidewalk. And he said she was obstructing the sidewalk, but she was walking down the sidewalk at the peace vigil. She had kneeled down for a minute to talk to a couple of people there, Wanton and Robert Flory. She got up, and the police officer said, "You, wait." "So what?" "So I'm going to go call the media." And she walked over to the phone, and then the cop grabbed her and arrested her. And the night before, she had slept out with us, and they charged us for conduct. They didn't charge us for camping because they didn't want to push the camping issue in court. So then they had her second arrest in 48 hours. They held on to her for 3 days. And then we were calling, and they said, "I don't know who Kim Argula is." They kind of, like, lost her, kind of.
The jail directly right now. Why don't you give them a call at 454-2420? That's the jail. It's interesting. You're talking about this this peace vigil, which is really quite an interesting vigil. You and Robert Flory was arrested tonight, and Wanton Dave held two peace vigils.
You know? Can I jail?
Yeah, I'd like to find out about the status of an inmate.
Okay, last name?
Flory.
Flory's?
Flory, F-L-O-R-Y.
Okay, first name?
Robert.
Robert?
Robert, yes.
Okay, yeah, he's here. He's not booked yet. Let's see if I can find his paperwork, okay?
Okay.
Hold on.
Cool. Being that rather nice to us right now. I don't know they're on the air, but... Should we tell him? Doesn't matter.
I usually do, but it's okay.
They got nice background music in jail. I remember listening to K-Fox all night in jail, and I wanted to tear apart my cell. I hate that station. So many times you can hear Stairway to Heaven and Freebird.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The peace vigil that you were talking about 2 years ago was the one that actually prompted the downtown ordinances.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, he's... like I said, he's not booked yet. I really can't get you any detailed information. He's just here on just minor stuff.
Okay.
Just local muni charges, but you know, he's not run for warrant yet or anything.
Right.
So.
He doesn't have warrants. He was in there the other night. He was for a camping charge. I think it's.
Yeah, but if it's something minor like that, he'd probably just get released with a court date, appear in court.
Okay.
In about 3 to 4 weeks, but until they run for warrants, run his name and everything, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't have any.
Yeah. So.
What about, what's his name? Well, there's someone named Mooncat that's in there, too.
What's the name?
Mooncat? I don't even know if that's the name.
Mooncat?
Mooncat, yeah.
For the same charge?
Yeah.
No.
It was at the City Hall thing. There's that protest.
Oh. Yeah, well, might be someone else. Might be another name they came in under or something.
Okay.
But why don't you call back if you can, like around 5.
Okay.
If you're still going to be awake then, and see what the status is on this guy, all right?
All right, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well done, Bob. So now we know that, again, it's another bluff. They were trying to terrorize the other demonstrators by telling them they wouldn't be released for 2 or 3 days. This is a tactic by police to break up the protest, just as sending in 6 police officers to deal with 6 demonstrators at 2 in the morning is, you know, it's an intimidation tactic. And I think there are a couple of things that are interesting about the vigil you were at 2 years ago. You mentioned conduct and camping, because back in those days, they didn't have a law against sitting on the sidewalk, and they didn't have a law against asking for spare change, and they didn't have a law against having a table set up on the sidewalk after dark. They just had a rather vague law about conduct, which they couldn't really use too well, because, for example, when they used it to deal with Wonton Dave, an activist, Wonton Dave Jacobs, who sat across the street from the Java House on the sidewalk, the judge in that case, Judge Kelly,
favorite coffee shop.
Hey, Java House, you know, go there and tell him you're going somewhere else. That's what I suggest about the Java House. Judge Kelly, in that case, the Wonton Dave Jacobs case, was sitting on the sidewalk, actually pulled the entire court out into the sidewalk to see if Jacobs was actually blocking the sidewalk, and since he wasn't, dismissed the case. I mean, there was police were using this vague conduct law, and the reason they couldn't they also were using the camping law, but of course the camping law was under serious challenge at that time. In 1994, the Tobe decision had actually been made in Southern California, which found that the Santa Ana City camping law was unconstitutional, violating the right to travel, violating the right to be free from cruel and unusual punishment, violating the right to due process. And the camping laws in that city in Southern California and other cities was under direct attack in the courts. Unfortunately, since then, the California Supreme Court, without really addressing the issues, has sent the issue back and made it kind of moot. So that is not so much at stake, but I think the city was really worried that they were going to be taken on and that we were going to take on their camping laws. So what they did was they passed all these laws that made protest against camping laws illegal. And it's interesting. City Hall, it's more legal to protest there than almost any other place within a 3-block radius around it. You actually cannot legally lie down downtown at any time except in the City Hall area. Did you know that?
You can lay down in City Hall area.
You can lay down on the public property in which City Hall is situated, because the lying ban, as the Rotkin Kennedy law that was given to us by the City Council in 1994, also part of the sitting ban, does not apply on public property. I mean, does not apply on that particular zoned kind of public property, which is public buildings.
Isn't it true that there's selected camping or non-camping zones in the city? I saw some map that was regarded to that.
No, you're thinking of the county. In the city, there is no legal place to camp other than a backyard or fenced-in side yard, or in the parking lots of churches in a vehicle if there are no more than 3 vehicles under the auspices of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program.
Doesn't it depend on what church? I mean, is there certain churches that participate? You can't just go to any church.
Right, you have to go, and you have to do it under the auspices of the ISSP program, the Paul Marceau Citizens Committee for the Homeless program that is so famous for closing down the only legal campground in Santa Cruz and building a trailer park on top of it, which they haven't even been able to fund yet. We've been all over that one many times. But, in fact, what you're thinking of is the county. In the county, there are only 4 no-camping zones, and they're a very small fraction of the county space. I think it's Pasatiempo, Tanner Heights, Ocean View Extension. There are a couple of places up near there, and the rest of the county is wide open for camping in terms of there's no camping ban. But the sheriff's deputies won't tell you that. the sheriff's deputies, if they see you sleeping, they will tell you that you have to move on to a campground. That's the only legal place for you to be. And they recently gave this information to River Street refugee researcher Tommy, who was out kind of finding out on behalf of the River Street refugees where they could possibly go. You may remember the River Street refugees, of course, are the campers who were deported to New Brighton Beach by Mayor Mike Rotkin, who is still mayor, unfortunately. And we're hoping he'll resign at some point, but that hasn't happened yet.
He will. I think he's happy at what he's doing.
Yep. Happy in his job, and I guess so are these police officers, right? Presumably happy. The two sergeants who took the who gave tickets, and the tickets were given by sergeants. It's rather interesting. Sergeants Clark and Vogel. You remember Sergeant Clark? I call him Clark the Kicker. You know why I call him the Kicker?
Well, I thought it was ass-kicking Clark. I thought he's always...
Well, the reason I called him the Kicker, I don't know if he's ever kicked anybody's ass per se, but back in 1988, he made it a habit of kicking people who were sitting down on Pacific Avenue. We had two or three reports of that, and then we had a very famous report which Clark became enraged with when he saw it on the street shit sheet. The story was, the Kicker draws his gun. And the report we got was that Clark had rousted a skateboarder in front of the old bookshop Santa Cruz when it was down on the mall in another location. And he had pulled his gun and said to the man, down on your knees and say your prayers.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I heard a story about Officer Clark that involved the May 5th arrest down on the mall when the sit-down protests, the first week of it.
You mean the May 4th arrest?
May 4th? I thought it was
the 11th and the 4th.
Okay. Well, on the 4th, a friend of mine was arrested. And
1994, we're talking.
Yes. He was taken, and he was put in, one of the few people that was put in a police car and then transported to the jail parking lot where people sided out. And Clark said to the person, quote, I'm the ass kicker around here. How about I roll down the window with your head? And so kind of scared the person that was in the back, and he told me that was his experience with Officer Clark. And then, of course, we know what he's tried to do to John Malcolm of the CPRB. And I guess he's a renowned, world-renowned officer of, I'm sure overlooks up to him and is an example to him and to all police officers in the city.
My experience with Clark was 1990 when we were protesting the beating that Hobo Hennig did of Morpheus Mike. Remember Hobo Hunter Hennig? Yeah, he's still around. He did some arrests the other night. Or no, I guess he did. I'm not sure if he did arrests or tickets. He was around the vigil, the sleep-out vigil at City Hall. We call him Hobo Hunter because he was the man who did many of the arrests in 1990 at the post office sleep-out, which went on for 8.5 months. But at some point,
he gets to wear jeans, man. He's like, all the other cops got to wear the black or the light or the dark blue pants, and he gets to wear jeans. I mean, what's up with that? Is he like some kind of cowboy, rough rider kind of guy?
Well, you know, he's pretty rough. He was. He gets to do other things. He gets to brush the breasts of prostitutes. You heard about that one, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. That was. The police review board found that the woman who said that he had brushed her breasts as allegedly part of his police work to see if she was really a prostitute, found that that had happened, and yet they did not sustain a complaint against Officer Hennig. So maybe for all you guys who want to do some breast brushing, you know, grab a badge and a gun and, you know, join Sergeant Hennig in the beach flats. I mean, it sounds like a real kick. And you can do it with the Kicker if you do it with Clark. I don't know. I don't want to accuse Sergeant Clark of brushing breasts. I saw him and his wife and their child in the station. I assume it was his wife and child. Maybe it was just a friend and her child. And Clark did not sneer at me. He just sort of had this haughty, grim look. I didn't stop to interview him at that point. He was off duty. I didn't feel it was appropriate. But he's on duty again tonight, and he's told the peace vigil. He's told the, and it's not the peace vigil. It's the sleep out vigil. I'm not going to get it straight. That they better clean up their signs and clean up their act, or he's going to be back and take everything away. You know, I think that. I mean, at least I've heard that there were sort of threats and insinuations to that effect, and we're hoping that you'll go down to that vigil at 809 Center Street. If you're up late, grab some coffee, head down there, and you know, spend a little time with him. It's not that cold tonight. I mean, it's not as cold as other nights. You know, have a coat. Don't fall asleep. You'll get a ticket. But otherwise, you know, I think they can use some help. And if you want to give them a call, you can call them at 215-9679. In fact, I am going to do that right now in hopes of kind of finding out just what's going on there. Maybe it's some new stuff is happening. Who knows?
One thing that's interesting is when I was in jail last week, when I refused to sign a citation, the jailer asked me...
Hello?
Hello.
Here we are.
You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
This is David. I got ticketed tonight.
You did. I know, David. This is Robert. I you told me that earlier, remember?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
All right. This is the fish. This is David Dake.
Yeah, the very one.
Now, what's been happening? You got the same four people there? Anybody?
Uh-huh.
Anybody new showed up?
One gentleman did show up.
Was that a kind of a suspicious-looking guy with shorts on?
Yeah, and a little bit of fur right in the middle of his chin.
A little bit of fur in his chin. I think you're talking about Skidmark's Bob, who's at the studio.
The very one.
Well, I take it you haven't got
him. No, with me.
It wasn't him, he says. Yeah, well, it was. So he's lying again. His moral compass is off.
It was Copwatch Bob. I'm a split person.
Oh, Copwatch. It was his brother, Copwatch Bob.
That must be who it was.
So have you seen any sign of the inimitable Sergeant Clark or Sergeant Vogel?
No, there have been a couple of drive-bys and spotlights. And we did a tap dance and waved to him.
You did the tap dancing. Well, that's very kind of obliging of you.
Well, a spotlight. I have to take advantage of that.
That's true. That's very true, yes. So has anybody gone back to sleep, or should we inform the police?
If the phone hadn't rung, I probably would have been a snooze right here.
I see. So you're sleeping
in front of the police station.
I see. You're trying to keep an eye on the police.
As long as they're going to watch us, I guess we can watch them right back, can't we?
I suppose so. That's the American way, right?
Yeah, fair.
You're right.
Well, how are you guys feeling? Are you feeling? Oh, by the way, we got the word from the jail. We called the jail.
Uh huh.
They're gonna release Flory probably in a couple hours.
Oh, good. It was just a 5-hour hold you and kick you out.
Yeah. They're just trying to frighten
you. We called them and put them on the air.
We're not afraid.
What's that?
We're not afraid.
Okay. So.
Well, what can they do? Chain us to the bars and call us bad names and beat us with rubber hoses or what?
That's an idea. We'll propose it and see what they think.
Yeah, for sleeping.
Sleeping is, illegal in Santa Cruz.
Let's
get real here, guys.
Yeah.
So
I just found that out tonight. I'm new.
Well, here you are. I'm glad you're new. Hang out longer and find out more.
Obviously the police department is not going to inform us of those rules. They simply issue citations.
Well, do you want to give us in your own words what happened tonight?
Well, I was examining my metal detector. And a force of policemen appeared from the dark, obviously just straight right out of the police department and across the lawn.
How many of them were there?
There were six.
Wow.
Half a dozen.
Uh-huh.
With two guys in charge.
Right.
And one of them approached me, and sitting up, he asked me if I was sleeping. Obviously, I could not have been, or he wouldn't have been able to walk up on me that way and see me eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I was just squatting here, mm-hmm. And then he looked at the cardboard I was sitting on because the grass was wet. I didn't want to get my clothes damp,
mm-hmm.
and accused me of sleeping on the lawn, and said this is obviously bedding.
Yeah.
It was just cardboard.
Obviously. Yes.
And then he asked me who I was because he hadn't seen me before.
Right.
And suggested that maybe I might have been arrested before.
Right.
And I told him, well, no way. I'm not even from this county. How could that be possible? He ran a warrant check anyway.
And there were no warrants for you.
Oh, no, of course not.
Right.
I'm not a criminal.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a homeless fool.
A homeless fool. I wish there were more like you there, David.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that, too. There's only four of us here, and we're running out of existential conversation.
I see. Well, maybe we can send some of the highfalutin philosophers down to...
That would be nice.
Do a little grand fandangling with you.
Really?
Or a tap dance instructor or something. Well, listen, you don't have any change to make phone calls, do you, in case something happens?
No, I'm homeless and poor also.
Pathetic. Well, I'm going to probably leave the station shortly, and I will leave Skidmark Bob here holding down the fort.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for letting me on your show.
Well, I try to let you on and then put you on.
Marvelous.
Yeah. Then maybe we can get a quarter for you. Of course, panhandling at night is illegal.
Quarters. Oh,
you got quarters.
Does that mean it's okay to do it in the daytime?
What's that?
Panhandle.
As far as I'm concerned, panhandling is free speech, but...
Somebody explained that to me once.
But the city council of Santa Cruz disagrees. If you panhandle at night, apparently that's considered a high treason, and you get
wow.
to... You get to go to... First, it's an infraction. If you do it twice, it's up to 6 months in jail. It's ridiculous.
For asking somebody for a quarter.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Gosh.
Asking for a cigarette.
Even asking for a cigarette.
Oh.
Maybe even asking for the time of day.
The time! That's panhandling.
Well, no. That's not really panhandling.
Oh,
asking
I'm
for
so glad.
Anything of value is panhandling.
Uh-huh.
I guess information might be construed of value, but...
Yeah. You can't ask for it within 50 feet of a bank or versateller.
You got it.
And you can't follow anybody down the street or get within 3 feet of them.
Even worse, you can't do it from a sitting position. You can't do it in a group of two. You can't do it to or from a car. You can't do it any time after dark, no matter how peacefully it is.
My, what tidy little rules we have in Santa Cruz.
That's incredible. Well, look, David, I understand Bull has some money down there. So if you do have problems, please call the station.
Very well. You know, we will do that.
Do you have the number? Do you have the number for the station?
Yes. It's written right on my arm.
427-FRSC.
That's the one.
All right. Well, good. Listen, anything else you want to add to our non-listening audience?
Sleep tight.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you are, in fact, tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's the 96.3 Zopti Splop on your radio dial. And I guess what I'm going to do here is... return the mic to that inimitable man about Santa Cruz, sometimes split into his cop watch side, sometimes the singing fool downtown getting tickets. You don't know whether he's just kidding or not, even though he says he is. Skidmark's Bob, and I will be back with my regular show, my two-hour show, which has been cut down from its wonderful three-hour locus, at 10 o'clock today. And for all you...
Is someone new coming in? Got a new guy coming in.
Guy coming in?
I don't know. The fire hasn't showed up or show, so someone's replacing.
No. Okay. I think usually the guy who shows at noon does show regardless. He's sort of pretty regular, but maybe not.
Maybe I don't know.
New programming here at Free Radio.
You want to show up and be on the show, as I always say. If you showed up at Taco Bell, a little horrible breakfast joint on Pacific and Laurel, I cannot stand their tacos. I'll tell you, I should choose another place. It's getting to be pretty depressing.
Why do you go there then?
Well, because I've told people that's the place to go, and so, you know, it seems...
You buy them breakfast?
I hope they'll buy me breakfast. I want to see... Or just at least get your butt to the station, all you cheesy deadheads who don't do diddly squat and say nothing and do nothing and hang out and with your colorful clothing but won't come on the air and talk about civil rights violations. Anyway, so... Let's just let this whole thing go and... Just let it go, and just let it go. I'm not going to let go of the mic. No, you can't have it. No, no.
It's morning. It's morning. People sleeping up there. 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. Stay tuned for more fun and games.
Yeah?
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, what's up, man? You're on the air.
You're having a good show, man.
Who's this?
This is Jim Costner.
Oh, Jim. What's up, Jim?
Oh, I was just listening to you and Robert talking about the situation in the visual.
All right.
Yeah. I was doing some late night studying.
All right.
And I was thinking about going down there. There's just four people down there right now, huh?
Yeah.
Four people, yeah.
And
four.
They took Robert away.
Yeah, they took Robert Flory away. He'll be gone for a couple hours. Just call the jail.
That's what I heard. I heard the police officer trying to act like he's real nice to you and he cares deeply about you. And
oh, they do?
He's real concerned about Robert Flory and everything. Yeah, I know that they're really compassionate people.
Yeah, well, we're good friends now.
you have tea parties with the police, huh?
Yes.
Sit around discussing about the great society we live in.
Know it.
Ian, hey, Jim.
Yeah?
You know, we're talking about having a... another big demonstration a week from Tuesday at City Council. Give that council a chance to shape up and fly right around the sleeping ban issue.
Uh-huh.
I mean, usually I don't go for the city council stuff, but a lot of people are talking. Maybe we should do a sleep out inside city council.
I'd be down with that. In fact, I think it would be good if we want to do it. We should get on it as quickly as possible. That way, we have as much time as possible to do as much as outreach as possible.
Well, I got
as many people as possible.
The guy who did that great flyer for the last sleep out we did, the demonstration on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
you know, that has a picture of the cops with shining a flashlight
mm-hmm.
on the sleeping bag.
I'm familiar with that. Mm-hmm.
I've asked him to put together a flyer tomorrow for
great.
The.
Great. Well,
from Tuesday,
I'll be willing to spend time up at Cabrillo in downtown, walking around, talking with people, and probably can convince some other people to do the same.
Well, I think you did some good work the last time. We got a lot of people. You were there speaking. Hey, it was wonderful. You came along on our walk downtown. This was on Saturday. We spoke out for our listeners who don't know, and we walked down and sat down around the host center, and then sat down around the downtown management corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Were you came along on that walk? Or?
Yeah, I did. In fact, I came along with the peace vigil but the sleeping man vigil for quite a while, talking with people, got really immersed in conversations with different people, and it was really positive for me as well. And I was really impressed to hear as many people got up there and took a stand and spoke very strongly. I think that shows that people are, some people at least, are really waking up. And when I consider waking up, I don't just mean being aware of what's going on. I mean actually being an active force against what's going on.
Right.
And I think that's really, at this time, I think that we're in a position to where the sleeping bag can be abolished if we're able to organize our efforts and concentrate our efforts a lot more.
You may be right, particularly after Brown has made his proclamations in San Francisco. However hollow they are, nonetheless, it puts an official authority on record as saying that they won't arrest people for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Brown in San Francisco, and now we're trying to get Rotkin to...
Well, if we can get hundreds of people mobilized in a progressive movement to abolish it, we can do it. I mean, it's all about force, and it's all about the city council abolishing the law because they see that it's in their best interest to do so. And when they see that is when the people are telling them that they better fucking keep their hands off the people.
You know, talking about people's movements, I'd like you, if you can, to get in touch with BD, David Dumars, who was really, he was another person who got cashiered around the same time Kim Argula did. We're talking about Kim Argula in 1994, about demonstrating against the sleeping ban. He's got cases that have been in the courts for 2 years. He's coming up for trial in April.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have him on my show, but I can never seem to get him to call in. Maybe you can get
him. I'm
going to
see him tomorrow night. I'll talk with him. I'll give him your number and impress upon him what you just
right.
said to me.
Or if he's not working this morning, have him call the show or have him come in.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I'll definitely do that. I'll talk
okay.
with him. What do you think? I don't want to take up all the time, but I don't even know if anybody's listening out there right now at this time of the morning. Probably some people, huh?
Okay, well, I'm going to go to bed, as they say.
All right.
We'll see ya.
All right.
Bye, Jim.
Take care, y'all.
Gosh, Radio Collective, whatever you want to call it, we now have the technology. The airwaves really belong to us. It's up to the people to take back that which U.S. corporate interests and government regulators monopolize. Stop for-profit brainwashing. Build revolt by networking nationally and internationally. It's up to you, folks. We need a core group and many more to broadcast and program Free Radio Santa Cruz. Keep listening, and we'll give you a phone number near you to call soon. Now, for a special preamble.
Well, we've been broadcasting for 5 minutes now. I think it's all pretty damn special. I feel free from the preamble to the Constitution of the Industrial Workers of the World. The working class and the employing class have nothing in common. There can be no peace so long as hunger and want are found among millions of working people, and the few who make up the employing class have all the good things in life. Between these two classes, a struggle must go on until workers of the world organize as a class, take possession of the earth and the machinery of production, and abolish the wage system.
Finally calling, because I couldn't stand it anymore, and you're asking for callers, so I decided to call.
Cool.
And
you didn't want to hear just getting backwards.
That was the thing. That was the clincher.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. So we know what to do to motivate callers.
Right.
All right. We know it works. We have a weapon now.
Are you a convicted felon?
I'm doing great. I've been working on the Anarchist Library.
Yes.
I heard you talking about it the other day. I kind of wondered where that. I knew it was in turmoil. We talked about it on the air a couple times, and it was in unsure hands. and then I heard you on the air, and I knew everything was okay again.
It was in boxes at Gaia for a long time, and now it's at my house, and it's been, we built shells, and we unboxed them, and now we sorted them into topics, and now we're shelving them and making them look pretty. So it's
the library must look pretty.
A functional library.
Well,
we could definitely use donations of books and or periodicals or videotapes. We even got videos now. And
is this going to be accessible to the public?
We could also use people to come help organize them and help us sort through the crap from the good stuff. And we especially need someone who's an expert in science fiction to come tell us which sci-fi books to get rid of and which ones to keep.
Yeah, Tony would probably help you. Is this going to be accessible to the public, or how's this work?
If you're interested in checking out a book or donating a book or just coming and browsing, you can call Eric at
454-9293.
454-9293. Right.
Right on. So,
can they call collect from jail?
Like you can't see? Sure. Collect call from jail.
Okay.
We can send books to jail. Oh, no, only publishers can send books to prisoners.
Yeah.
You know, there is a group called Friends for the Library. You can donate books to certain people.
I think laws about that have changed, and they vary from jail to jail or prison to prison.
Yeah.
But a lot of the books in our library actually are missing their covers because one of the regulations in the past, anyway, has been that books in jail can't have covers.
Right. Exactly. Friends Outside, I think, in Soquel, they do a thing now that they can get books. It's mostly science fiction books, because I guess that kind of takes you away from having to do time and prison and jail and things a little bit more.
Yeah.
A distraction.
Escape.
Yeah. But nothing political, you know.
No.
Although I did find the 100th monkey. A guy had it hidden under his mat, and he gave me the 100th monkey, and it blew my mind. I'm sitting in jail reading this whole thing about atomic, you know. Atomic warfare and things.
But there are ways.
Yeah, Left Bank Books has a Books to Prisoners program, and so does Bound Together Books in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So,
right on. So what kind of books do you have?
We have a lot of sci-fi, and we have a lot of novels, and I'm going through like in order that I just shelved them. Let's see, plays and poetry and art and games and what else? Oh, and then there's the parts I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
Our huge section on Marxism and labor and unions and whatnot.
Right on.
And then there's a big section on anarchism, and there's a huge section on feminism, and there's a small section on animal liberation, a fairly big section on ecology and environmentalism and that kind of stuff, nature.
Yeah.
There's stuff on magic and paganism and spirituality.
Ooh. What kind of book? What?
What kind of what?
What book? What's that book?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of books.
You got a whole section on that? That's pretty anarchistic.
Yeah.
Crowley.
Do
you have
that,
Crowley?
I can't hear you guys. You're like in the background.
What?
I can't hear what you're saying.
That's the janitor. Speak up.
Do you have any Crowley?
Alistair Crowley, yes, we do.
Plenty of that. So how do people get a hold of you again?
They can call 454.
454.
9293.
9293. Right on, man.
Yeah, so carry on with the program.
Okay, do you have any issues, bitches or gripes you want to talk about? I mean, this
I
is a talk show.
How do you go about getting that together?
Ed Fry's supposed to be here, but, you know.
How do you go about getting that together?
The library?
Yeah.
It has an interesting start, actually. During the 70s in Santa Cruz and at Stanford, there was a group of anarcho-feminists who were organizing against the nukes, especially against Diablo Canyon down in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
And they had a whole bunch of affinity groups, and they worked on different projects, and they made the Diablo Canyon anti-nuclear direct action handbook, which is the granddaddy of all nonviolent direct action handbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to compile it, it's really big too, it's like 60 pages just for one action.
Yeah.
In order to compile it, they gathered a bunch of books and did research on different aspects of nonviolent action. medicine and a nuclear weapons and a nuclear power and that kind of stuff. And that's how the library was born. And it was mainly started by this guy named Crystal, who was a history of consciousness grad student up at UCSC. And the reason there's so much sci-fi is that he was originally doing his thesis on militarism themes within science fiction literature.
Yeah.
And he later changed his thesis, but there's the books remain. And when he moved out of town, then he entered his personal library in the UCSC personal library contest.
Yeah.
As the anarchist library, and he won, and they gave him money to buy more books. And then when he moved out of town, he's now a professor somewhere in Michigan. He gave the library to a co-op that was that had a lot of activists living in it. That was called Gaia.
I think I know a few.
Yeah, and then it stayed there for several years, and a lot of the activists moved out, and it kind of fell into disrepair. And so it's recently been rescued.
Excellent. Have a rich history.
Yeah. You didn't know our own little community had such a rich history, did you?
No. Well, I knew. I'd heard of the legendary anarchist library. It's just weird how it survived and just kind of floated around like it does, and it's still
and also,
kicking it.
I have a fairly big personal library, which covers a lot of the same topics. And so if people are looking for a specific book and they can't find it in the anarchist library, they could probably find it in my library.
Do you get subscriptions to Slingshot?
We have various back issues, but we don't have any current subscriptions to anything because we don't have any money.
Ah.
But should you care to donate, we'd be happy to subscribe to
Slingshot. We get a lot of flyers here.
I got a nickel.
Hey, we get plenty of IWs.
Yeah.
Industrial workers, they come in and a lot of people don't read them.
Yeah, you can probably get those for free.
I already got a subscription of my own I can put in there.
All right. Do you serve coffee?
If you come over and behave yourself, I will... No, we don't have any death squad juice over here. What are you talking about?
Just what does that mean, behave yourself?
Death squad juice.
Death squad juice. Hey. Issues? Wait, what do you mean?
Caffeine.
Death squad juice, because coffee is grown in Central America and in Africa. And it's almost always, although not always, owned by large corporations from outside of the country where it's produced. And there's like slave-like conditions, and it depletes the soil, and it's shipped up here to a bunch of white people trying to pretend they're living in Florida or someplace. And it's addictive, it's bad for your health, it drains the nutrients, and it just shouldn't be drunk. They should grow their crops which sustain their own communities with nutrition and not have to do all this export bullshit to make people up here feel strung out.
Sort of like Juan Valdez.
Sort of like what?
And what about swag?
Swag? What's swag?
Swag. Mexican bud, too. That's Death Squad bud.
Yeah.
They have Death Squad marijuana up here, too.
Yeah, that's true. Basically, all import crops are bad news for the people who are exporting them.
Yeah, especially the workers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that number again, if people want to get involved in an anarchist library?
It's 454-9293.
All right.
454-9293.
Right on, man. 96.3.
Hey, I'm slow. Give me that again.
Video.
We have it like five times on tape already. So be on a loop tape, so it'll loop around and then, you'll probably hear it quite a bit.
This is a rebroadcast.
Well, my phone's making funny noises, so I'm going to go back to to shelving books.
Right on, man.
But carry on.
Take care.
Bye.
So anybody who wants to get interested in the anarchist library, call that number, whatever it was.
And coming up next, we got Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides, Riots, 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 and Civil Wrongs. Check out the City Hall Sleepout. Now in Phoenix, for the next 2 hours, maybe two and a half, you're going to be listening to Bathrobes, Beer, Robert Norris. But in the background, that's Daryl Chin singing from the album Timber. We got call-ins, we got you, we got me. Give us a call, 427-372-4377-372. You can do 96.3 FM, free radio, Santa Cruz.
So let's drink until the well runs dry. Cause in the heat of Arizona, ain't no telling when you're gonna die. That Salt River, she's a dead. So let's just the ants upon a dried up bed. There ain't enough need to tread when you're living on a borrowed time. Now on the outskirts of town they got a creek that still runs all year. So let's put homes for 20,000 folks and put a golf course near. Them saguaros are a-fallin' and the javelinas dying of thirst. But them developers are telling us for progress and our profits first. We're living on borrowed time, so let's drink until the well runs dry. Cause in the heat of Arizona ain't no tellin' when you're gonna die. That salt river, she's a-dead, so let's dance upon her dried up bed. There ain't nothing to tread when you're living on a borrowed time. Sweating out the mortgage and they say the water's almost gone. But my sprinkler, it's a-going, cause I'll die before I lose my loan. This time, so let's drink until the well runs dry. Cause in the heat of Arizona, ain't no telling when you're gonna die. She's a dead, so let's dance upon a dried up bed. There ain't nothing to tread when you're living on a borrowed time. Hey, there ain't nothing to tread when you're living on a borrowed time.
And that was Daryl Cherney from his 1990 album Timber. I want to also thank Skidmark's Bob's big pal, Phil Free, for calling in and letting me know that my voice is just not getting out there. So is this loud enough for you guys? Come on now. Yep, you listen to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides for the next 2.5 hours. It's Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz, with reports from Keith McHenry in San Francisco, Karen Gillette in Santa Cruz, and hey, we even have Lee Kornstrom, not, of course, on recorded voice, San Jose Mercury News columnist, and he's considered a curmudgeon, I guess, by the Santa Cruz Metro. I consider him to be one of the most renowned bum busters in town. Lee has been busting the bums in his column, hey, since the late 80s at the very earliest. I hadn't heard of him before then, thankfully, but I have heard of him since then. And he has a nasty column this morning, which includes a few comments about me. Can you imagine that? You'll, of course, be hearing that on our show. The show is a call-in show, 427-3772, 427-FRSC. And it's 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, that you are listening to. We had a special edition earlier this morning because there were arrests at the City Hall sleepout. That's the sleepout that's taking place at 809 Center Street across from the library, supporting the rights of poor and homeless people, or anybody for that matter, to be able to sleep in their van or outside without being arrested. We're not talking sleeping in the middle of the street, blocking the sidewalk, crapping on somebody's front yard. No, we're talking about sleeping someplace, presumably that's not interfering with the rights of anyone else, and then finding your own rights torn to shreds by police who arrive with flashlights, guns, ticket books, squad cars, and handcuffs, as they did last night, or I should say earlier this morning, at the sleepout at City Hall, hauling away Red Top Robert Flory and Mooncat. Now, I understand, having just spoken to Daniel Hopkins, Dragon's Heart Dan, at the vigil, at the sleepout, which is still going on, and it's going into its 18th day now at City Hall, and you're invited to join it, that Red Top Robert Flory is still in custody. That's correct. The sleep criminal has not yet been released, and it looks like it's at least 8 hours later. He was arrested around 2, I understand, this morning, and he was told, and the sleepers were told, the other people there, that he would not be released for a couple of days because he was a habitual sleeper. I know, that's true. Habitually sleeping has been one of his major characteristics. So I guess Sergeants Clark and I guess it wasn't Sergeant Varner, it was Sergeant Vogel. Both of those sergeants were, in fact, accurate in that statement. What's going on is the step-up of pressure on the vigil at City Hall, so that people will not merely face infraction fines, and which can be resolved by community service, $162 fines, which you can work off with nonprofit organizations if you have no money, but misdemeanor sleeping. Misdemeanor sleeping is punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. I can't believe that they would actually take such cases to court. They have never done so in the past, though they use the misdemeanor provision as a convenient way of picking up, booking, and removing from the scene, punishing, in effect, homeless protesters who are at the scene. Of course, when you get a jail over your head and you're actually receiving food and a place to sleep, if they keep you and house you, which they haven't so far, no arrest has yet kept beyond 12 hours a sleeping ban protester in this round of the sleeping ban protest, this chapter of the fight against the oppression of the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz. But once they do, and apparently they promise to, that will mean people can stay in jail. They'll be dressed up in these funny little orange jumpsuits, or red jumpsuits if you're a woman. And Nikki from San Francisco was ticketed last night. She's down here supporting us. And so was David Dake. Mr. Dake is another newcomer to the vigil, a newcomer to the sleep out. We need lots of newcomers over there. So, hey, pick up your bag or pick up your camera or just go down to the 7-Eleven and get one of those big brews, 32-ounce cups of coffee and bring it around to the vigilers. Or show up during the day, because during the day, numbers get very thin and the two or three big leaders get lots of pressure on them from police officers like the famous Lieutenant Joe Habee, who was immortalized this weekend in our demonstrations with his song, Maybe Habee, and possibly if I get some call-in requests, I will sing that song for you. It was quite a hit downtown as we did a lie-in in front of the host's headquarters and then later in front of the Downtown Management Corporation, which is the group that runs the hosts and that funds the hosts and that is actually behind the hosts. And the host, as you may know, is the green-shirted folks who are giving out warnings to people for sitting down on the sidewalk and generally harassing poor people downtown, along with the new downtown ordinances. Not so new now, actually. They're from 1994. So Flory is in jail. The sleep-out is continuing. I guess Mooncat's probably still in jail, though I haven't heard one way or the other on that. There were four tickets given last night, making, I think, a total of 25 to 30 tickets that have been issued in the last 18 days. I also have an interview, as I said earlier, in what apparently was unintelligible speech, according to Phil Free, and I hope that this is a clearer speaking. Karen Gillette will be on the air in an interview. We're going to be discussing the closing of the armory, which apparently is definitive. There is no more armory except on a weather-related basis. That is to say, the armory will not be open tonight. There will be no legal place to sleep for another 80 to 150 people, those who are in the armory. And the only time the armory will reopen will be if in the next, I believe it's the next 45 days, it could even be only till the end of March, possibly till the end of April, if there is a real weather warning, then they'll open it for a period of 5 days. But in the meantime, even though the weather is fine, you're going to have to find your own hiding place, folks, because those cops are going to be out there. Now, they may have been told to be nice, and Scott Kennedy may tell us that there are only four officers, after all, covering the whole of Santa Cruz every night, and so they don't have time to go after these sleep criminals. Six cops came marching right out of the station at 2 o'clock this morning and arrested two people and ticketed two others and threatened to trash the entire vigil, as they have in the past, remove signs, food, and so forth. So, perhaps we can get someone from the vigil to call in, although I don't know if they actually have a working radio there that can pick up the station. You certainly can call the vigil yourself. The phone number at the City Hall sleepout, a payphone very close to the vigil, which they probably can hear if there's not a loud lawnmower going, is 425-9679. That's 425-9679. And in case you want to talk about that sleepout, hey, we're on the air to do just that. And the phone number to call in here is 427-3772. 427-3772, and it's easy to dial or easy to punch in. Just punch it in, give us a call, and punch us out with some pungent dialogue, because that's what we need here. We need some of that stuff, particularly since I need a little time to Hey, there we go. To set things up. Here's a call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, how come the bus always happen in the middle of the night?
Well,
in the morning, why not in the light of day? I mean, if it's just, why not do it at noon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Why is it always 2 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning?
Well, you know, I hear a... the reason for that is because the police are unfair, but actually the reason for that is that the sleeping ban sections most often used have to do with criminal sleeping between 11 and 8:30 in the morning. And so they come between those hours and arrest people who are caught either sleeping or lying down, covered up with bedding, having a blanket around them, things of that sort. But it is true, they have made arrests like in the early evening, well, mid-evening, like 9 o'clock. Daniel Hopkins was taken to jail at 9 o'clock for allegedly, quote, encamping, which is the third section of the sleeping ban, which states that if you are caught with camping equipment, the intention to camp overnight, you can be cited at any time during the 24-hour period. So the answer to your question is the most easy case for the police to prove is late at night. And as you point out, I think there is a consideration there. They have, of course, made harassment raids during the day. They've come by looking for signs and so forth and threatening to take them away and intimidating the demonstrators and actually stealing some of the property. But most of the stuff does happen at night. And the reason for it is because of the ordinances, the wording of the ordinances. And it's also true that the City Hall is not that public a location. I mean, there are a few people around there. I mean, there are city staff and there is the library across the street. And when you have civic auditorium events, which is also across the street on the other side, you do have some people, but most of them are not, you know, coming past within really audio and visual range close up, which is one of the reasons I've encouraged the sleep out people to consider at least a daytime presence downtown on Pacific Avenue with a table, and possibly even a nighttime presence, but that would be more difficult because the downtown ordinances make it illegal to actually lie down, whether you're sleeping or not, anywhere downtown on the sidewalk, with the exception of that public space at City Hall, which is kind of a safety zone, interestingly enough. You are allowed to lie down, provided you don't sleep or cover up with blankets, without being in violation of the downtown ordinances. But still, were people to be downtown, they would be seen by like 10 or 20 times as many people, and I think they would be joined by people who are supportive, and they certainly would create a problem for merchants who are trying to give the illusion that Santa Cruz is a wonderful tourist town with no police or problems and treats its homeless, you know, in a goody-goody-goody wonderful way.
The other thing I wanted to say is I think a lot of the problem with the impasse on this issue, the inability to deal with it by the elected officials, is the problem with who sets the agenda. I think a lot of it is ego. I think certain people have gotten used in this community for the last couple of decades to setting the agenda, and now it's not that way. They're being shown to not be the leaders that the claim is laid that they are.
Mm-hmm.
This issue now, this demonstration is, what, 18 days old?
Yeah.
And the issue is very sincere and very direct. And there is stalling on it. And I perceive a certain degree of the stall to be because it didn't emanate from certain people who like to call the shots, who like to set the agenda. I think what we're seeing and what this the demonstration at City Hall represents is a new solidarity. There's a new political energy coming up in Santa Cruz, and that demonstration in front of City Hall is vital. And I don't think, at least myself, I don't think we're going to know the impact of that demonstration for quite a while to come. It's produced so much solidarity and dialogue and community.
And I hope we'll produce a lot more of the same. We're actually planning to do another large demonstration a week from tomorrow when City Council has a meeting. Now, the poster on that should be out soon, perhaps by the same fine artist who did the last poster. You may remember, I think it was Sleep is Not a Crime, the poster you saw posted all over town with cops shining flashlights on people, this guy in a sleeping bag.
Well, all the signs over there are great. Whoever's been putting together the signs and
mm-hmm.
the language,
any
of them are masterful.
It's
great.
It is. It's a joint effort. Also, recently, for the first time, chalk has appeared on the sidewalk. Large, beautiful chalk messages. How can you sleep at night? A law against sleep is an unjust law. Things like this, which I think people can see on the sidewalk, even if the police tear up the signs and haul them away and throw them in the dumpster, as Lieutenant Joe Habey has done in the past. And it's good, you know. I'm hoping that we can have even a larger demonstration next Tuesday. I'm thinking that it might even be a sleep out in City Hall itself, since there is no legal place for people to sleep outside, period. Now there's no winter armory shelter. It might be the time to start putting these public buildings to some good use.
I think the established powers in this instance, what they would wish would be that this demonstration be ignored, so that they can once again set the agenda and make the claim that it had no impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's happening is that there are many people in Santa Cruz that are recognizing that leadership is not coming from the old progressive liberal guard in this town anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get an issue that's so basic as the right to sleep, the right to exist, and when a demonstration lasts for 18 days and in front of City Hall and action is not taken and the proper people who are in leadership positions do not come forth with solutions, I think we're at quite the quagmire and an impasse. And to me, what I see, and I'm not saying I'm right, but what I see is that there's a group in Santa Cruz that has gotten so used to setting the agenda, the political agenda in this town,
mm-hmm.
that they don't want to be usurped.
The scan machine.
Right. Mm-hmm. The reality is that usurpation is percolating up by its own energy from the people. I think what we're witnessing in Santa Cruz in 1996 is a very profound political change. And I have experienced, and I know others have, a lot of solidarity in front of City Hall. I think that demonstration is one of the most remarkable things I've seen in my adult life.
Wow.
And I stand behind that and offer whatever full solidarity and presence that I can offer.
Hmm.
So.
Now, Bob, you always have some encouraging words for us. And considering the discouraging words we get from the media all the time, the media did a very short dismissal column of the protest. They actually gave more fanfare to the St. Patrick's Day March, which I think probably had about the same number of people and was put on the front page. We may have even had more. We certainly were there for a longer period of time. And we had our, this is the Saturday speak out. On the same Saturday that the St. Patrick's people marched, we spoke out at Friendship Corner, which some people know as Hippie Corner, at Cathcart and Pacific. You know, we had all kinds of food and served there for 2 or 3 hours. And then we marched down to the different, I would call them organs of oppression, if you will, or places of oppression, and tried to raise our voices there. We had many people lying down on the sidewalk, violating the downtown ordinances. 3 cops were inside the host center, and they did nothing to enforce the law, because, of course, they only want to enforce the law when there are not large numbers of people around, because if they have to deal with large numbers of people, they have to really be responsible for what they do in the eye of the public. Particularly, we had media coverage, a minute and a half of media at least on Channel 8, although I've got to say, Scott Kennedy, I'm told, hogged the media. He showed up at City Hall in order to schmooze with some of the protesters. And
I heard that what Mr. Kennedy said is that we're not going to be intimidated, which is, I come back to what I believe, what's the strategy is behind this, in the sense of those that want to retain status quo power in Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
is to dismiss, to use your word, to dismiss the demonstration and ignore it and claim that it has had no impact on whatever the outcome is going to be from all this activity.
Well, I think our united response to Scott Kennedy should be, whenever he shows, not to go up and talk to him and schmooze with him individually, which is, of course, what he loves to do. He shows up habitually at these demonstrations that are attacking the policies that he promotes, so attacking the downtown ordinances, attacking the sleeping ban. There was a huge wobbly sleepout in September of 1994 at the Bookshop Santa Cruz. There were demonstrations against the sitting laws, which he authored or certainly supported, at Friendship Corner in 1994 in May, where the police rioted and beat people up as they left. One woman had a miscarriage subsequent to a blow by a police baton, and that was when Kennedy was mayor. Kennedy shows up the next weekend and schmoozing like the devil and talking to the media and so forth. I think that the only answer, and he's a very, you know, he's an effective public speaker, and he's not an unpleasant man as a human being, no question about it. But as a council member, even though he states that for the last 6 years he's opposed the sleeping ban, he has done nothing to make any fundamental change in that ban. He has made no strong public statements in the last 3 or 4 years about the sleeping ban, and he is a complete loss on this issue. In fact, he helped close the campground. I call him the campground killer when I when I see him on the streets, because that's what he did. He closed the only open-air shelter. He actually was not the individual who closed it in terms of the property owner, but he stood right behind the property owner, Paul Marceau, the agent of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, when it was closed in December, the Coral Street open-air shelter, the only place for people to sleep. It now sits barren. It's surrounded by fences. No one can go on it, and there is no community house project on it. There are no trailers located there. It's another one of the CCH scams. They're still looking for money to get their trailers in, their little, pay for rest project, where there'll be 20 to 40 people in a very closely managed halfway house type project. But Kennedy, I feel the best thing to do about him is to call him out, and not, and in a real clear way. The way to call him out is not to engage in lengthy dialogue with him. Similarly to Rutkin, he's full of obfuscation. What you have to say is ask him, so you favor ending the sleeping ban? He'll say, yes, I do. I've always favored that. That's good. At the next council meeting, introduce a resolution. After you've done that, come back and we'll talk. Before then, you are completely empty. You have nothing to say to us. You've done nothing for four years, 5 years, 6 years. Don't come to us and pretend to be any kind of a spokesperson. When are you going to introduce legislation? And I suspect, until he changes his mind, and maybe he will. I mean, who knows? But he hasn't so far. He will have nothing to say to that, except, oh, well, we can't, we don't have the votes.
Well, the last thing I'll say is that these times call for courage and not procrastination. We need to learn how to deal with things head on, particularly when the issues are so blatant and so basic,
mm-hmm.
of which I and many others believe that this demonstration in front of Santa Cruz represents such basic human values, and the wrong approach is to stall and to slough off and to discredit, dismiss those actions that are coming sincerely up from the people.
Sure.
Okay, so I really see this as an ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm right, but I really see it. I see a lot of the stalling in Santa Cruz, and I like this town. I think Santa Cruz has the chance to become the 90s Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
It is, whether it likes it or not, in many ways. It
mm-hmm.
just represents... People come here from all over the world, and they come here not because necessarily the boardwalk. They come here because of the politics. They come here because of the people and the society and the art and et cetera and et cetera. So Santa Cruz has a chance to become something special, which it should be, in the 90s. And I think what we're seeing a group of politicized people emerging that's very separate and distinct from the old order that has gotten used to calling the shots. And they call themselves progressives and they call themselves liberals, but they'll duck and cover when it gets down to dealing directly with the crucial issues. And at that, I'll let it go. Robert, thanks.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
All right.
And I hope people will join you in your show.
I'm on at 1 o'clock today.
Okay.
I switched my time, so I'll be down at 1 o'clock.
All right. We'll hear you then.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that, of course, was Battling Bob LaMonica, and he'll be in at 1 on the station, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. And the call-in number is open. It's here. Give us a call, 427-3772. We have an interview now. We were about to play with Karen Gillette. Karen Gillette is the coordinator of the Free Meal, as well as the executive director of the Homeless Community Resource Center, which will be under increasing pressure now that the Armory has closed. And, of course, there's been some confusion as to whether, in fact, the Armory has actually closed. But the word from Karen is, it's closed. That's that. And Karen, I have to say, is probably in a position to know best, since a lot of what she does revolves around people that are coming out of that program. So let's hear what she had to say this morning. This is Karen Gillette, Homeless Community Resource Center. The quality of the tape at the beginning is not the best, but bear with us, be patient, it improves.
So it's March 18th, 1996. Here's a call to Karen Gillette.
Karen
Gillette. It's Robert Norris calling.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling on behalf of Free Radio Santa Cruz, which are going on the air in about an hour. And we've tried to reach the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and the number is disconnected. At least the traditional...
The 423-2367 number?
Yes.
It's disconnected, or are you just getting a fax machine?
We're getting that number has been disconnected. Message on it. Is it, in fact, still working, or are we just misdialing?
Well, it was on Friday. I mean, I haven't tried to call them today, but the last time I called was working.
I'll try again.
I mean, a lot of times they have their fax machine on, and you get this weird shriek noise.
Yeah, no, that's not it. I'll try again.
And last night was...
I'm calling you from Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm interrupting an interview I had earlier with Karen Gillette, and we're both live on the air right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to Ron Howard, Operations Manager of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Bob.
Now, my understanding from Karen Gillette was that the last night of the Armory was last night.
That is correct. I tried to call KSBW to correct their information they were putting out on Channel 8 that it was incorrect. They also had advertised over the news that the Army would be available to us for the next 30 days, and that is incorrect. It will only be available to us through the end of the month on a weather-related basis, which is if it gets below 40 degrees or if it rains. Then we get it for three-day blocks.
Three-day blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the weather report look like now, Ron?
Well, it doesn't look bad. I'd say it's sunny. We got some high clouds. It's about 70 degrees. It doesn't look like we're going to be getting the Army for a few days.
Mm-hmm. And
as I said, when we do get it, we'll get it for 3 days at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that, say, on Tuesday, it drops below 40 degrees, then we'll have it for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then if it should happen to rain on Thursday, we would get it for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way we can get any kind of continuity is if we get one bad day of weather every 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will try to contact the Norse gods. As you know, as a Norseman, I should be able to do that.
Yeah. Especially with that Norse right there in the middle, you ought to be able to do this, no problem at all.
Well, I was the most irritating man in Santa Cruz. Hopefully I can irritate
the... Oh, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you. Ron is referring, and I am referring to the Metro Santa Cruz gold medal. Apparently I beat out Carol Boosenhart and numerous other worthy contestants, including Scott Kennedy and so forth.
I think Mike Rockin was thrown in there as well, wasn't he?
Well, he certainly should have been if he wasn't, that's for sure. So, Ron, what do you predict is going to happen? Last year, the open-air shelter, the Coral Street open-air shelter, opened up after the Armory closed, and people moved onto that field at River and Highway 1. What's happening with that field at River and Highway 1?
I have not been briefed on what is taking place out there. Actually, I've been sort of cut out of the loop on it, and I really don't have any pertinent information about what they're going to do with it or what the timetable is for moving those homes on or construction's going to begin or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Questions like that would really need to be directed to the program director, who is Daryl Darling.
Mm-hmm. And does Daryl have a number he could be reached at?
Well, he normally uses this office and he checks...
messages here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for people who want to find out from Daryl if possibly he could open up the community house property for emergency shelter, they should give a call to 427-2367. Is that the correct number?
423.
Ah, thank you. 423. I can never get that right. 423-2367.
Correct.
So, listeners, if you want to find out, possibly encourage Daryl to open up that property to homeless use, since it doesn't seem to be being used by... Is it being used at the moment to put in trailers? What's going on there?
Well, they've shot some elevations and set some grade stakes, and that's about as much progress as I've seen out there.
Hmm.
I don't think it would be... bad idea either if people are interested in, you know, prospective shelter sites, et cetera, to contact the city as well.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know this, of course it's hard to miss, that there are some people in place down at the City Hall right now, and I was going to ask you next time I saw you, what degree of success do you think they're obtaining down there, if any?
Well, actually, you're referring to the sleep out at City Hall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are the folks who've been there for the last 17 days going into their 18th. Well, the success they have, of course, is in bringing media attention to the realities of the closing of the Armory.
Right, focusing the community's eyes.
Right, and the city council members have sort of essentially said, oh, well, we've tried everything, there's nothing we can do, we're so sorry. Now, Scott Kennedy showed up, as I was mentioning earlier on the show, and on Saturday, right after our demonstration, we had sort of a march downtown and a lie down in support of homeless people, the theory being if you can't sleep at night, well, lie down during the day to bring the issue to the public eye.
Uh-huh.
And Kennedy showed up and sort of said he favored, as always, ending the sleeping ban, but as always, he wasn't doing anything about it. So it's kind of, the answer is nothing yet, but I think that with the Armory open tonight, we may get an increased flow of people joining our vigil. I've been letting people know about it, and of course there is the risk of a ticket, and most of us don't want to get a ticket. We want to go to be able to sleep.
Well, I think if they started... receiving large numbers of those kind of tickets, they wouldn't even bother to take it to trial or jury because it would just be too expensive for the county and they would probably just dismiss them.
We're hoping that that's what's going to happen, but in fact they're stepping up pressure on the protesters. So,
really?
Yeah, they arrested two people last night and gave out two tickets. In fact, the Protesters, I believe that they arrested, are strangely enough still in jail, and they're charged not just with infraction sleeping, as I told our audience earlier, but with misdemeanor sleeping, which means they can be punished by jail for up to 6 months and a fine of up to $1,000.
Hmm. Well, it's unfortunate, but...
Have you spent much time at the armory, Ron? Have you been talking to people?
I check up there periodically.
What's the mood among the people? Have you talked to many of the recipients?
I did this morning, and several have expressed concern about where they're going to be able to go or what they're going to be able to do. And my pitiful and unfortunate response is that we really have no place for them to go. There are...
Or at least there seems to be a fence in the way down there at the Highway 1 and, and River Street, at Cedar Street property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we still operate the 56 people in the church group up here and 28 in South County.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that's the only venue I have available for sheltering anyone. I wish I could just wave my hands and boom, there would be place for everyone. But
how many were at the armory last night, Ron?
Just over 70.
So that, how many were in the church program?
56 here and 28 in Watsonville.
So the, both church programs were full, and there was a 70 overflow into the armory.
Right.
And I expect those 70 tonight are going to be technically illegal when they fall asleep in Santa Cruz.
Technically they will be. The thing is, though, Bob, the numbers go up and down, fluctuate in direct relationship with the weather. I mean, if it's warm and, you know, relatively nice outside, the numbers at the armory go down. When the weather becomes inclement, then the numbers go back up quickly.
So you're saying possibly there are even more people who might have used the armory last night had it been rainy, but who didn't because the weather was relatively
right.
mild.
Right. They probably just stayed out. I mean, it's been beautiful the last couple of nights.
So actually there's more more illegal people out.
The max number we had up there this year was 120.
Mm-hmm.
And that's less than we had last year, which is surprising because we had just as much rain and cold weather this year as we did last year.
Now, I believe Scott Kennedy and Mayor Rodkin have both said, hey, there's always been unused space at the armory, since the armory theoretically can take up to 150. Is that right?
That would be the maximum number, yes.
Now, what is this? Do you think this argument has validity? I mean, is it fair to say, well, anybody who wants a place can get one, since there's always been space at the armory throughout the winter? What's your response to this argument?
I'd rather not.
You'd rather not respond to that one?
Right.
It is a can of worms, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And there's really no
kind
positive.
Of a car baby. Yeah. Well, hey, Ron, is there something you want to add for Free Radio Santa Cruz? Any comments you want to make, or before they fire you for having talked to me on the air?
No, I think we've plowed that row enough. There really isn't anything to add. The city and the county, though, need to be more responsive to the needs of the people that are homeless.
I'd have to agree with you there.
And that's about as far as I want to go.
Listen,
so, Bob, good luck.
Well, thank you, Ron.
I got to get back to work here.
And again, I remind our listeners, if you want to get in touch with Ron or with Daryl Darling, who heads the Community House Project, you can give a call to, and what's the number? I don't want to say it wrong.
423-2367, and specifically request Daryl Darling.
All right. Thank you, Ron Howard.
Bye.
And that was Ron Howard, who I think actually has quite a bit of courage to go on the air and talk. Paul Marceau has not been responding to my phone calls, except with letters that I'm no longer welcome at the Citizens Committee meetings and will be arrested forthwith if I show up there. Perhaps he doesn't like me anymore. Anyway, we were in the middle of an interview with Karen Gillette, who, as I said, is the Homeless Community Resource Center's executive director. That's the place that provides showers, has laundromats. The three meal is located there. And the lockers that people use to put their stuff in. There's a phone available for people during the day, and it's really quite a valuable service, an essential service for homeless people in Santa Cruz. We called her up to talk to her about the current shelter crisis, and this is what she said.
It was the last
yes.
night.
Extended it to the weekend.
Now, is it true that the bays are being closed earlier because of the closing of the armory now? Are
well,
they?
We generally, our hours are closed at 5:30.
I mean,
the place. I mean, people can go to their lockers 24 hours and stuff.
So that's not going to end. That's not going to change.
No, there was some confusion this morning because at least two or three people asked me what, you know, how come they weren't going to be allowed to go to their locker at night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who started that.
Somebody came to me with that rumor.
Yeah,
I wanted
it's a
to check
misunderstanding.
It
I mean, we've never been allowed to have, you know, all-night services running. We don't have a permit past 5:30,
mm-hmm.
except for, you know, for satellite to do the pickup.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to keep people away from their lockers.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have have, you know, a skeleton crew around just to, you know, deal with emergencies. Or...
Are these skeletons going to be armed with swords? No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I mean, people should know that. I mean, if there's, you know, we can't, you know, we, there's not, we're kind of limited because of doing daytime services for how we can help in this crisis. But people should know that if they need somewhere to run to, you know, because there's a crisis in the middle of the night, that there are people awake, you know, that at least can call a cop or let them just sit there and calm down and figure out, you know, what's going on.
Any trailers on the property yet out at the community house site?
Unless I missed something this morning, no.
Mm-hmm. And have you heard, has the funding been received, or are they still scrambling for the money?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I have to say this month I'm missing everything. This is my major grant writing month, where all of our federal grant that would keep us going for the next 2 years gets mm-hmm. written this month. Mm-hmm. So I don't tend to get out of my office or have as many conversations.
Mm-hmm. You're having a good time in your office then, right?
It's weird, not really, but it's a different kind of busy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of my, it's real, it's hard in a completely different way than dealing with people is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just me and the calculator, and days go real fast, like, you know, hours go by, and I look up, and it's like, oh my God, it's, you know, 2:30, and the last time I looked, it was 10:30, you know.
Any proposals going to City Council for the Homeless Community Resource Center?
Well, there'll be our normal community program one. I haven't done that one yet. That's going to get done. I got those, this county, the city, and the FESG all have to get done this month.
So for those who don't know, if you were to just do a very quick breakdown, what percentage of your funding comes from city, county, and private, just roughly?
I mean, this is very rough, and it's probably not completely exact. About 50% comes from our big federal grant. It's a 2-year grant that we apply for every other March.
Mm-hmm. Which you will be applying for this March.
That's what I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then that usually, well, actually, it runs for like 22 months, and then 2 months you just kind of have to wing it in May and June.
Mm-hmm.
And then about another 25% comes from the city and the county together.
Mm-hmm.
And the city, between CDBG and regular money, they give us about $36,000, and the county gives us about $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest, which is about 25% to 30%, we just raise privately.
Mm-hmm. And that covers the free meal, that covers, what services does that cover?
Well, it covers, you know, it covers breakfast, dinner, the utility. I mean, our PG&E bill alone is close to $1,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
just to crank out all those showers and the hot water and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it pays, you know, the rent, the utilities, the food costs, all the different staff costs,
mm-hmm.
You know, everything from toilet paper to, you know.
Mm-hmm. What percentage of that is salary
stuff, you know?
What percentage of all that is administrative, say, salary costs?
Let me pull out the grant. I just figured all this out.
Oh, great.
What we consider our administrative costs
mm-hmm.
are 50% of my salary, because that's about the amount of time that I spend on admin, and the other half I spend on people stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the office supplies, my phone line, and I think that's it.
So 50% is administrative, more or less?
Well, no. Are you kidding? Of our whole budget? Jesus.
No, okay.
God, Robert.
I know nothing. That's why I'm asking.
I mean, average is about 15%.
And so,
so 50 you'd go under. Ours was, this past year, it was 9%
mm-hmm.
administrative costs. And next year, we're projecting it'll be 8.3%.
And so salaries are about 15% total?
No, just, administrative salary, that's me, basically.
Right, but total salary...
Total salaries are almost 50%.
I gotcha, okay. Yeah. And how much, a significant number amount of that salary goes to homeless people, right?
Yeah,
who are employed?
The only people, I can't really say I was homeless. I was a deadhead, and I mean, it was a very clear
mm-hmm.
kind of traveling choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably the only one who's never actually been, like, homeless due to lack of finances.
Certainly not homely, that's for sure.
What? No way. No, but I mean, I lived without a house at times, but it wasn't, like I, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to, so I have a hard time claiming that as real homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
But two of the managers, you know, Mike and Mike, are formerly homeless.
Mm-hmm. Sentinel Mike and Mike Bustos?
Yeah, are formerly homeless. And then everybody else is still homeless. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, right now some of the employees are kind of semi-housed. We have one up in Tower Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of those little campers.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially everybody else is.
How many employees are we talking about total?
If you include the ones, are you including the ones with just volunteer positions or just paid employees?
Oh, just give me two figures, one with and one without.
Okay, let me add it up for a second. There's 10 paid,
mm-hmm.
and 1, 2, 3, and 5, 6 who get, like, just places to stay in exchange for volunteering a few hours.
Gotcha. Well, now the $64,000 question, Karen, what's going to happen with emergency shelter tonight now that the armory is closed?
We don't know. I mean, I've been out there this morning trying to talk to people and, you know, kind of figure out just where everything stands. I mean, some people have made plans and have gotten into other shelters. Other people are in total panic, like sort of not really believing this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And figuring that we're going to come up with something today. Barb and Sherry seem to have come up with some state park campground vouchers,
mm-hmm.
but no one has the money to pay for them right now. I mean, they would on the first,
mm-hmm.
but for the next 2 weeks, you know, to come up with their $10 a week, they need to.
Now, have they actually come out with that plan? Are they sort of setting up shop there to kind of sign people up? Or?
Well, I heard that they were here yesterday,
mm-hmm.
like with a table, and that some people actually that had the $10 a week signed up,
mm-hmm.
and I think others were more just like getting information and figuring out how. Who they're going to, you know, group with and things like that. I'm a little behind that because I wasn't here yesterday.
Interestingly enough, I spoke with a woman who had her two children in 1985 who tried to do that, use the state parks, and when they learned that she was homeless, they told her she could only stay there 1 week a year.
Yeah, I'm not sure how.
It's now a month a year, and I think you can do it for a two-week period, and then you have to go away for a period.
So, I mean, you know, that's not going to be a whole summer's worth of solution for anybody. You know, it's about a month's worth. you're assuming that, you know, they still use the maximum amount of voucher availability.
What have you heard about?
I don't know. I mean, a lot depends on how bad the Rangers, you know, and the sheriff and the police are about camping tickets. I mean, generally it's not, in all honesty, it isn't the city's camping ban that gets most of them. It's the Rangers.
Actually, the Rangers do act under the city camping ban.
Well, okay, but I mean, like, the Poke, you know, wherever, like, you know, the
right.
Poke and the river area. I mean, generally, I mean, when I was asking them to do it, they say, like,
that's
the Rangers find you, and then sometimes the sheriff gets involved, or the cops, depending on what they, you know, how
mm-hmm.
bad, if, what else they found you with, or whatever, I'm not sure.
What have you heard about camping tickets in the last few weeks?
Well, not much, because the shelter hasn't closed yet. I mean, what I've seen is what it seems to me like, I mean, I don't know if this is actually a policy, but what it looks like is, whenever there's, like, a major change in the amount of shelter beds, like when the campground closed, for about 2 weeks, there'll be a large level of enforcement with the Rangers, and then it will drop off after that. I think, you know, a certain amount of people will either go further back into the woods or just leave, and then they seem to relax a little. But I mean, I don't know this year. I mean, this is going to be the most people ever without shelter in as long as I've been doing this.
Right, since 1991 and your successful agreement with Michael Dunbow in that year to allow tolerated camping in the...
Back 40 field.
There has been every summer that as an access area for people to use. This summer, I assume the Citizens Committee has got its gates locked there that nobody can get in, right? Well,
I mean, I'm pretty worried that I don't really have much to tell you until after we see tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's kind of seems to be a combination of things. I mean, some people seem to be figuring out solutions. There's some people who have camped every summer, like, and not in the back 40, like that, the more loner crowd, that as soon as the weather gets nice, just takes way off into the woods of, you know, camps that they've used for years. They don't seem particularly concerned, because this is the way they normally, you know, deal with it. The concern seems to be a lot more with the women, the younger kids. You know, the disabled are still in the church groups, so it hasn't hit them.
We have 26 or
56. May 1st, and then it goes down to 28.
Gotcha.
So,
and the armory will be open on a weather contingent basis. If there's a report there'll be rain, it'll be open for 5 days, something like that. Well, I appreciate this update. Do you have anything you want to say on any other subjects for our Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
Well, I mean, I think this is going to sound sort of stupid, like almost like adopt one, but I mean, things that people can actually do is, like, if you know one person, you know, that you can let crash in your yard or in your couch. That's one. I mean, it's at a point where it's so bad that helping individuals does make a difference, because that's kind of what we're down to, is there isn't going to be a solution for everybody. So, I mean, the most anybody can do is free up any shelter beds you can. If there's people you know that, you know, you don't mind having around, you know, give them a legal place to be.
Yeah, of course. I guess that brings me to the final question I have for you, which is, as you know, this is the 18th night tonight of a sleep out at City Hall that, I guess, Daniel Hopkins and Sean Alamay and, oh, I don't know, 5 to 15 other people, depending on the numbers of any night, have been doing to dramatize...
I'm on the phone. I'll be off in a second.
...dramatize the need for a change in the sleeping ban and the need for emergency shelter. Well, I'll ask you, I'll bite the bullet and ask you, do you recommend, are you asking City Council yourself to suspend the sleeping ban during the pendency of this shelter crisis? Should people be arrested for sleeping at night outside?
Well, I can tell you, I'm not putting a lot of effort into asking them, because it doesn't feel like there's a lot of room there to budge. I mean, I think... you know, a compromise I would wish they would consider, but they probably wouldn't, mm-hmm. was, I mean, you know, they seem pretty adamant that they're not going to, you know, suspend the camping ban. If they could somehow differentiate between a camp and a person sleeping.
As done by, let's say, Mayor Willie Brown in San Francisco, allegedly, anyway.
Well, I don't know the real details of that. But, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if they're really not going to let people establish camps, you know, like where you have tents and cook stoves and the whole nine yards, you know, mm-hmm. actually be living reasonably comfortably. And, I mean, if you come across somebody who's just rolled up in their bedroll, you know, just them and nothing else, obviously not comfortable, you know, obviously mm-hmm. not getting entrenched, if they could just be left alone.
Right. Are you prepared to write council a letter requesting that change?
I'm prepared to have conversations about it.
Uh-huh.
I don't, to be honest, I don't feel like there's a lot of room there.
Well,
I mean, you know, yeah. when you ask, you know, when laws tend to work very black and white, I mean, it's kind of hard to ask, you know, for, as much as you know that's how it actually ends up working, to officially ask for things like selective enforcement and, you know, to kind of bending the law. It's kind of hard for anyone to come right out officially and say, yes, we'll do that, because that's probably not legal.
Well, you know,
I mean, sometimes I think the best you can come up with is, like, ask unofficially and hope, you know, that they just sort of do it that way, even if they never come right out and say it.
Well, in Santa Barbara, they actually made that distinction in the law, the difference between a camping ban and a sleeping ban. That was made in 1986 and lasted for 3 years. And in San Francisco, Mayor Brown has de facto made that kind of distinction. He said he will not allow encampments, but he will allow people to sleep, although, in fact, the statistics from the San Francisco Chronicle say that enforcement has gone up, not down, on sleeping bus. But still, to have that kind of statement made would put people in a position, once they're busted, to be able to go to court and say, hey, look, we're just doing what the mayor told us we could do.
I mean, they're going to sleep. I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of a... We get caught up in these conversations somehow as if they don't sleep every night in the interim while we discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think anything that assumes otherwise is sort of naive and doomed not to work. So it seems like the sooner we come up with, you know, defining how they do weekly sleep, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, Robert. I mean, this is the lowest level of service I've ever seen
mm-hmm.
since I've been here.
And I regard it as pretty low, I must
you know,
say.
I mean, part of the problem, too, is, like, it's pretty rare for the city to just start a service. You know, usually what happens is private individuals that want to do something
mm-hmm.
kind of get a plan together and a proposal, some idea of how they get at least some of the money, and then they take that to the city and kind of ask them to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one doing that right now. I mean, you know...
Well, you do have Sherry and Barbara with...
I remember that. In fact, I was tape recording it at the time, and they've recently done the same thing. There's recently, it was 2 or 3 months ago, they were advising people that Food Not Bomb should not be given produce and other things from the farmer's market, because it was all supposed to go to a centralized church charity. And which I do. I got those keys back from the police department finally after they were held for 36 hours on suspicion of stolen keys. I was. There could be. They wanted me to account for every possible key. But anyway, I'm really glad that some people are speaking up for what the Santa Cruz scene is, which is a mixture of all kinds of different lifestyles, which you see intermingling in a wonderful way at the farmers market, which happens every Wednesday. You know, people are serving food, people are giving out literature. People are exchanging services and goods, and they're doing so in a non-glitzy, non-chintzy, non-tourista kind of way, which is, of course, counter to the whole movement of the merchants and the downtown area permanently. It looks like they want some kind of Carmel Capitola combine on the mall. And then there's this other force, this other direction, which is really much more important in Santa Cruz, and I think in other towns, other small coastal towns up and down the coast. It's really kind of a people's movement. Wouldn't you say, Bob? What would you say? Is it a people's movement, or is this
I believe you.
He believes me.
Oh, hey, man. He believes me.
I'm just not in talkative mood, you know.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I understand that.
Kind of,
you know, we do have... this is your opportunity to just do some ranting and raving on the air. Nobody will hear you, of course, except me and Bob, but...
Well,
It is, but you know, hey, off to cops maybe hearing you. I'm sure they're tuned in. Hey there, Sergeant Vogel, good work tonight. No, he's not going to pose for a picture lying down and giving you false evidence. I think that's a bit of a stretch, Sergeant Vogel. You know, that's not good.
Well, he'll tell you about
what happened the other night, last night, as well as when he was leaving the the vigil. He left before I did, and he was going down Pacific Avenue, and he noticed this crowd of First Alarm police wannabe officers around a gentleman and had him handcuffed, and he was maced in the face, and they're pouring water on his face. Phil showed up on the scene with tape recorder in hand, and it got some sound bites of what happened to this man. Evidently, he was taken to the ground. He was handcuffed. He was maced in the face by two rather large First Alarm cops. Either they're like disgruntled football players that didn't quite make the police. Yeah, you know, most of the cops are like disgruntled football players, but First Alarm guys, I don't know. But they had this guy in, and it was freezing last night, and they had this guy on the ground and had him... had him basically all fucked up with his pepper gas on his face. And then Officer Brandt got there, too.
What day was this?
This was last night during the demonstration down. This is at night. This is like about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Do you know what the reason for the pepper gassing was?
No, either he was drunk in public. There was a lot of people drunk in public. A lot of people tonight. I still hear him howling. I was out there. Still people howling and... St. Patty's Day. But evidently he was drunk and stuff, but he was handcuffed, and these First Alarm cops aren't supposed to be doing that. They're not even supposed to put handcuffs on anybody. I mean, I wouldn't let one put a handcuffs on me, because they're not police officers.
Well, you don't have a right to, if I were a citizen and I arrested you, couldn't I theoretically handcuff you if I were arresting you for some kind of crime, even though I had no particular police authority?
You mean for, like, a disturbing the peace? Like if you wanted to make a citizen's complaint against me, or something.
If I saw you engaging in a crime and you were, let's say you were stealing something from the store, I tackled you like, let's say Neil Coonerty or something.
That happened to me at Safeway when I stole some food because I was hungry and I had no money, and a box boy attacked me, and actually I was pulled in from I was walking outside the store, and then they escorted me back in this back room, and then. The owner or the manager came out and he's all, "You have an ID?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he says, "You're going to jail." And I said, "Fuck you, I am not going to jail." And I ran. And I was tackled by fascist box boys from Safeway and Felton, thrown to the ground, you know, and grabbed and all this stuff, and thrown in this back room, told to shut up. And so I started going through all their paperwork, and they didn't like that. They're yelling at me, don't do that. I'm all, "Fuck you, I'm going to do what I want to do." And they were all there, and finally the sheriff got there, and then he released me on my OR. But that's the big famous case that John Hopkins said my moral compass was off.
Your moral compass has been spinning, way around. I remember that. That was in the Kim Argula trial for disturbing the peace. You were called as a witness.
That's what we named Just Kidding's album, Moral Compass, what you can pick up a baseline.
Cheap, flagrant plugs for your stuff there. I mean, this is really disgraceful. So you just got back from the vigil. Any new information there? Have the police been seen stalking the vigil still? The sleep out?
Yeah, they're driving around. I Zeke Heiled one as he was driving.